Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 20, the 20th chapter of Matthew, in your Scofield Bible, page 1026. We'll read the first six verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Once more, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, and then your Scofield Bible, page 1026. As we always do at First Baptist, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And let's pray. Father, it's, of course, a great privilege that we have tonight. Help us to realize the importance of our following the service and the preaching and being attuned to that which you would want to speak to our hearts. We're a needy people, and thou art the God of our help and our supply. We pray that you'd help us with our needs tonight. And you've given our preacher something that we need. Help us to receive it, to hang on to it, to put it to use in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Heavenly Father, we come to thy word, and we're going to use a good bit of it tonight. Help us to do it justice. And may the word of God be as always quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get my little helper here. Now, you won't say amen before I get through here tonight. Because you're gonna get it tonight, I tell you for sure. I want to talk to you tonight about the best New Year's resolution you could ever make. If I told you to make one New Year's resolution, this is the one I would say to make, and that is, pardon the dirty four-letter word, work. Work. God did man a great favor when God made man to take care of the Garden of Eden. And let me remind you that the curse that was placed upon man at the fall was not the curse of work. God put man to work before the curse. God made man sweat while he worked because of the curse. But God put man to work, and God put Adam in charge of the Garden of Eden a long time before Adam and Eve sinned. Listen to me now. And the curse came. I think it's a work is not a curse. The truth is, play is a curse. But work is not a curse. I'm starting a new club. It's called the THM Club. Thank God it's Monday. I'm sick of this generation that thanks God it's Friday. Somebody ought to thank God you got a job. And thank God you got work to do. And thank God you got strength in which to do the work. It's thank God it's Friday is a typical picture of what America has turned out to be in our generation. What it is, thank God don't have to work. Thank God it's Saturday. Thank God I can play. Thank God I can loaf. Thank God I can do nothing if I want to. But bless God, thank God on Monday I have a job and work to do. We're sort of crazy. We punish our children with work. Okay, son, you've been bad. You clean that basement. May I tell you what you are when you do that, parents? It starts with an I, ends with a T, and has a D-O in between. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. Nobody will ever punish a child with work. Make a child, you reward a child with work. I've often said that when our boy was a little bit tight about that height, he always wanted, as your boy did, he wanted toys that were work toys. They want a building set. A little girl wants a, listen young people, a little girl wants a stove or a cooking a set of a pots and pans. And when Dave was a little boy, he wanted a little play lawnmower. And he'd get beside me, and I'd mow the yard. That's before we started a rescue mission. And that's why we started a rescue mission, too. Miss Howes got tired of mowing our yard. But I'd get the big lawnmower, and Dave would have his little one. and we'd just go right along beside each other, and he had the little one, I had the big one, and then he got about 10 years old, we traded. I don't understand you parents who say, okay, you've been a bad boy, or you've been a bad girl, you've got to do the dishes. What a dummy you are. I'm sorry, dumbass, a dummies you are. Didn't sound very good there for a while. That's your kind of language, isn't it? A dumb et. How's that? Dumb et you are. It's hot up here. Well, man, you turn that air conditioner down some more. I placed a... Okay, get back with me now. I'm trying to think which one I meant. I preached a sermon several months ago entitled Casualty. In that sermon on Sunday morning, I said, everybody who's a casualty is first a casual. I don't care who you are, if you're a casualty, first you're casual. Long time before David ever committed his sin, David was taking the day off. He was casual, then he became a casualty. Long time before Samson ever lost his power, yet he was a casualty. He was casual with his head in the lap of Delilah. But before Peter ever cursed and swore, denied the faith, denied the church, denied the Lord, and was a casualty, he was casual because he was warming at the devil's fire. When Israel went into captivity, one reason she went into captivity, according to Amos chapter 6, verses 1 and following, is that Israel was at ease in Zion. You mark it down. When a civilization quits working, the civilization crumbles. I mean, a successful society is built on work. A successful home is built on work. A successful business is built on work. And you're doing your child a horrible disservice if you don't make that child work. Well, you say, Brother House, I'm tired of all the trouble my boy gives him. Kick him in the pants. If he won't work, kick him out of the house. Bible, listen, hear me carefully. Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. I reckon that might be a 13-year-old boy, too. I mean, if your boy won't take the garbage out, just don't set the plate for him. That's scriptural. He won't mow the yard, then next time you eat, just don't have a place at the table for him. Let him not eat. That's Bible. Oh, you say that poor little angel. Would you ladies shut up? We poor little angels. Listen, if I could keep you mothers away from our boys, we could rear some men. I'll guarantee you that 90% of all the letters I get about students, about young men at Howells Anderson College, is from moms. My boy has to go to school. And if you take it 15 hours, that means he's in school 15 hours. And then my boy's got to work 40 hours a week. Oh, bless your little pea-picking heart. Keep your nose out of it. Let us make a man out of him. I thank God that through the years I've been a carpenter, I've been a drywall hanger, I've been a floor layer, I've been a grocery store clerk, I've been a service station attendant, I've been a garbage collector, I've been a clothing salesman, I've been a yard man, I've been a factory worker, and I've been a maintenance man before I quit working and started preaching. When Noah, before he ever committed his sin with his son, who saw him naked outside his tent, Noah was loafing around the tent, drinking whiskey, and got drunk. The church at Ephesus, the Bible says, the thing that was wrong with them, they were neither hot nor cold, they were lukewarm. Now you listen to me, and you listen carefully. If you're not a hard worker, you're not right with God. You may shout in church, but if you're not a hard worker, you're not right with God. You may be the best soul winner and the teenage soul winning, but if you're not a hard worker, you're not right with God. You might be the best Bible teacher in First Baptist Church of Hammond, but you're not a hard worker, you're not right with God. And you guys that only work when your boss is looking, you're not right with God. And you guys that don't put in 8 good hours a day for 8 good hours of pay, you're not right with God. And you Sunday school teachers that don't work to build your class, you're not right with God. The best resolution you ever make, and by the way, the most spiritual resolution you'll ever make, is to work in 1995. Work, I like this statement. Work is the tool which makes men out of boys. Did you ever hear anybody say he's a playman?
He's a playboy. He just plays. He plays golf on Monday, bowls on Tuesday, picnics on Wednesday, and plays golf on Thursday. He's a playboy. You know why? Because there's no such thing as a playman. I like it. I'll coin a new tune, a new term. I've already coined some new letters, THM. I've coined a new word, too, but THM. But I'm going to coin a new word, playman, a workman, workman, a yeah, workman. Playboy, workman, playboy. Some of you Howells Anderson College glamour boys. Some of you cute little dolls that spend 30 minutes a day trying to curl your pretty little hair. Some of you guys that lift your weight so you can have body beautiful. I wouldn't give you a dime for a carload of you. You guys that enter these contests all fully on your lazy bone. Get out and get your job. Put those weights down. Get your job. Learn what it is to work and sweat. James Fargo, famous head, former head of the American Express, said, if I were worth $100 million, I would make my son make his living. He said, it is wrong to bring up sons to be gentlemen loafers. Malcolm Harvey was a multimillionaire. He had one son named Rupert. Rupert didn't even get an allowance. Rupert didn't get one dime he didn't work for. There was a multimillionaire son out mowing the yard. Why? He was trying to make a man out of him. You can teach your child how to shake hands properly and how to say yes, sir, and no, sir. And you can teach your child how to walk like a man, and you ought to. Some of you little guys that walk like this, you can teach your child that. But I want to tell you something. It's more important that your child learn to work than learn how to shake hands. It's more important that your child learn to work than learn how to say yes, sir, no, sir. And that's important, too. There's nothing you'll ever teach your child more important than teaching your child how to work. Thomas Edison said, success is 2% inspiration and 98% perspiration. I was taking a trip preaching in the Washington, D.C. area. After service, Wednesday night, I went out to O'Hare Field, caught an airplane. I was flying to Washington, D.C. in the wee hours of the morning. Must have been 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I was doing what I almost always do on the airplane. I work. In my motel rooms, I work. After church at night, preachers go out and eat a bite. I don't go with them. Brother Ray will tell you that. I don't go. I go back to my room, go watch a movie. I mean, go to work. And I'm saying that I work for a living. But I was on the airplane, and there were two lights on the airplane. In the wee hours of the morning, they always turn the lights out, but you have a little, when you push a button up there, a light goes on over your seat. There were two lights on. Plane was full, probably 150 people. Plane was packed and jammed. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Talk after a while. Listen to me. The other light, my light was on. I was working. Wee hours of the morning. The other light was on Senator Everett Dirksen. Now, he passed away numbers of years ago, and this was many years ago. I was a young man. Senator Dirksen got up from his seat, walked up where I was sitting. And he said, young man, he said, you're the only other man working on this airplane beside me. And he said, you are going to be a success someday. You are going to be a success someday. Those words were said to me by what at that time was probably the most famous senator in the United States Senate. 413 times in the Bible, work is mentioned. We think we need to, and let me say this too. I'm going to say it whether you let me or not, but we think we, all the stuff we teach, play with your boys. Play with your boys. Did you ever hear about working with your boys? I didn't turn out right because my daddy didn't play enough catch with me. Your daddy ought to caught you instead of playing catch with you and put you to work. There's not one place in this Bible says you're supposed to play with your boys. I'm not against it, but 10 times more than you, play with your boys and take them to games. We think the way to rear a kid is play with him. The way to rear a kid is teach the guy how to work with you. Build something together. Work together. Shoulder, you put your shoulder to the wheel together. Plow with the same yoke. I mean, simply saying, teach your boy how to work. An old proverb, I like this, an old proverb says an idle man is of no more use than a dead man and takes up more space. Now you listen to me. I am sick up to here with you little pusillanimous, sissy, Hiles Anderson College single men that dropped out of school because of financial reasons. I hope you never find a wife. I hope when you're 95 years old, you're trying on the telephone trying to get a date. You good-for-nothing, sorry rascal, you. We're in the Chicago area. Get your job making hamburgers at McDonald's. No reason for you not to stay in school. These guys got 2 and 3 kids, and some of them have 2 or 3 wives. They can support all their wives and all their kids. You buy crack, you can support yourself. Your trouble is you spend too much money on fast food eating the dining hall. No need for you to drop out of school. And I'll tell you something, you'll never amount to anything. I promise you, you guys that can't feed yourself and stay in school and get a job and work your way through school, I promise you, you'll never build a church. You'll never be a missionary worth anything. You'll never amount to anything. I'm saying, whatever you do around here, learn how to work. It's down in North Carolina preaching. A fellow walked up to me, a middle-aged man. He said, my boy's in your college and I'm worried about him. He said, I've saved for years $25,000 putting my boy through college. He said, my boy went to Hiles Anderson College, and he won't take my money. He said, my boy goes to school in the daytime and works at night, and I'm worried about my boy. And I said, you better go home and thank God that you reared a man and not a punk. One day there was a man who inherited a good name and a lot of money. He spent his life in riotous living and pleasure. He died leaving his money to another. But a small amount of his inheritance was left for the writing of a biography of his life. A certain publishing company was to publish his biography, and they published a book about his life, true story. A beautiful, elaborate binding. A title page, turn page, the date of his birth, 200 or 300 blank pages, and the last page, the date of his death. And that was it. He didn't do anything. Ask your question. Suppose your biography were written. What have you done? Oh, you say, brother, I broke par in golf. Well, isn't that good? Bully for you. If you made a birdie on every hole, if you haven't learned how to work, you're not worth shooting. I'm a little tired of Hiles Anderson, First Baptist kids growing up here. I've given my life to putting you a grade school out there and a junior high school and a high school. I've worked myself sick trying to keep the bills paid and keep the doors open. You haven't got the foggiest idea what I'm talking about. And I've arranged where you can graduate from Hiles Anderson College, and we have, and you can start in 4-year-old kindergarten, go all the way through with your master's degree in Hiles Anderson College, and you want to be a professional basketball player. That's not what we had in mind. Amount to something. I'd 10,000 times rather collect garbage than be a professional basketball player. I'd 10,000 times rather collect garbage than be a professional baseball player. I'd 10,000 times rather collect garbage than be Mr. America. All those bulging, they shine you like they shine shoes. Except shoes are prettier. You sorry rascals, you. Boy, I wish I had time to tell every one of you lazy guys how sorry you are. I wish I had time to walk up to you and punch you on the chest like that and say, you lazy rascal, you may not can be as pretty as somebody else or as smart as somebody else, but praise God, you can work. I was reading the other day, Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. I was amazed. I'd never seen that before. Did you know there's not one single thing in that story about the virtuous woman of her being sexually pure? Didn't have to be because the whole thing's full of her working so much she hadn't got time to do wrong. How about the virtuous woman? Verse 13 says she worketh willingly with her hands. How about the virtuous woman? Verse 15 says she riseth also while it is yet night. How about the virtuous woman? Verse 16 says with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. How about the virtuous woman? Verse 17 says she girdeth her loins with strength. How about the virtuous woman? Verse 19 says she layeth her hands
to the spindle. 12 verses deal with work before kindness is ever mentioned. I'm saying 13 of the 15 verses about a virtuous woman deal with work. And you marry some of these little beautiful wallflowerettes. You're crazy. You may be pure sexually, and you ought to be. But wives, let me see your house. Let me see your kitchen sink. Let me see the clothes hamper. Let me see what kind of meals you cook. You listen to me. Fellas, you're going to rue the day you married her because she's pretty. Check and see how much work she does. Let me just, I've been on you Hiles Anderson men. I'll get on you girls for a while.
Well, I've got a chemical imbalance.
So do I, but I work. What's all these diseases they got now? Epstein-Barr. Sound like a perfume to me. You little gals, you little pretty wallflowers. Look, if we want something pretty, we can buy a picture. I'll promise you, you little guys that want to marry the college beauty queen, the only work she does is she's a painter. And one of the great works of art known to womankind is to make something pretty out of that push she's got underneath that paint. I wouldn't give you a dime for you lazy gals. You guys ought to choose some of these second echelon gals as far as beauty is concerned. Find a gal that gets out here on Saturday and works herself to death on some little bus route somewhere. Find a gal that's not concerned about her hair falling because she's out in the snow. Doesn't ruin her whole day because she's got a bad hair day. Bless God, I never have a good hair day. I'm saying the secret, the Bible talks about a virtuous woman. The Bible talks mostly about a working woman. The secret to missionaries is work. Acts 13:2. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I can show you missionaries serving on a foreign field doing nothing. God said, it's not God has called me to go to the foreign field. God's called you to work on the foreign field. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The difference in a Rick Martin and some of these guys that haven't had anybody saved since the flood is work. You heard that man talk a while ago. Out there in the jungles. He can't go down to McDonald's. He can't go down to the shopping mall. And you teenagers hanging on the shopping mall, it's time you got right with God. You go down there to buy something, go buy it, go get in your car and go home. The secret of being an evangelist is work. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, do the work of an evangelist. Doesn't say fill the office of an evangelist. It says do the work. Paul said, God said, separate Paul and Barnabas as missionaries to the work which I have called them and do the work of an evangelist. That's why I thank God for a man like Joe Bowen. The same thing's true with other evangelists. Dennis Corll, same way. I guarantee you, brother, those guys do the work of evangelists. When they get up in the morning, they study and they get out in the field. Joe Boyd's been going soul winning every afternoon, every revival he's ever had for 50 years. Some of you guys surrender to the mission, to evangelistic, surrender to be an evangelist because you want to stand up for crowds and preach. Well, that's not what God called you to do. God called you to work. It's a secret to pastoring. Not only missionaries, evangelists, but pastoring. Ephesians 4:11-12, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Lazy preachers. I guarantee you, I preach this across the country. The average preacher takes his children to school in the morning, which means the school starts before your work day does.
But you say, Brother Hines, my wife makes me.
No, God made you, but he's disowned it. I want to tell you something. The secret to First Baptist Church of Hammond is not the preacher walking across the platform and running and jumping. And the secret of First Baptist Church of Hammond is not what's going on behind this pulpit for 35 and a half years. The secret of First Baptist Church of Hammond is W-O-R-K. Work! Make your New Year's resolution. I'm going to work!
Some of you rich students ought to go to work anyhow. Work for nothing.
You there, make it and give it to me, so I can take more time off. Now you listen to me. You don't work for a living. You work so you can make a life. The reason for failure, according to the Bible, is the lack of work. Acts 15:38, John Mark turned back, and the Bible describes it like this. It said, John Mark went not with them to the work. Didn't say John Mark went not with them to the field. Said John Mark went not with them to the work. People said, John Mark turned back because he's homesick. My Bible said because he's going to work. But John Mark turned back because he wanted to see his mama. My Bible says he turned back because of the work. He went not with them to the work. When Jesus came to the end of his ministry in John 9:4, Jesus said at the first of his ministry, John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me. Amen. Jesus was a worker. That's why the Heavenly Father put him in a carpenter shop, and he spent his life as a boy swinging the hammer and working in the carpenter shop. And then when he came to the end of his life, he said, I have finished the work. Didn't say I finished God's will. I'm a little tired of folks talking about God's will. How about God's work? I finished the work that the Father sent me to do. The reason people aren't saved is Matthew 9:37, Luke 10:2 tells us why. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Listen to me, young people back here. The reason that you Hiles Anderson College graduates are going to go out of here, some of you, and you'll go to a certain area and you'll flop. And the reason you'll flop is because you don't work. Do you know work is more spiritual than prayer? You know work is more spiritual than reading that Bible? I'm saying man worked before a word of the Bible was ever given to man. If you want to be a good Christian, listen to me. If you want to be a good Christian, it's not because you can testify better than anybody else or sing the prettiest solo. It's because you learned how to sweat and do some work. That's the whole secret of life. Harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Laborers are few. The reason we're not close to God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God. Now listen carefully to this. You'll never get close to anybody that you don't work with. You'll never get close to anybody that you don't work with. Let me show you, Brother Keith. And Brother Keith and I, when we share the same work, this is the way that you get close. Why? We have the same burden. We're going the same direction. We have the same work. Some of you Hiles Anderson College students, thank you. Hiles Anderson College couples, you're going to break up as sure as I'm standing here because you're trying to get close by trying to get close. Getting close is a byproduct of sharing the same burden and the same load. You don't have to say to two mules in the same yoke, get close. One mule says to the other, I'd like to be close to you. What do mules say? Bow wow, moo, meow, what do they say? Is that what they say? One mule doesn't look to the other and say, let's get close. You don't have to. You get in the same yoke, doing the same work, you'll be close. God commands us, oh, listen to this one. Oh, 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 oh. God commands us to work 6 days. One of the Ten Commandments is that, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but it doesn't stop there. It says, 6 days shalt thou labor. Put that in your pulp and smack it. you say, I just work 5 days a week, then find something to do on the sixth day. 6 days shalt thou labor. It's in the Bible.
Thank God it's Friday. Well, I can't wait for Friday.
Join my club. Thank God it's Monday. Exodus 20, verse 9, 23, 12, Deuteronomy 5, 13 says, 6 days shalt thou work. I said a while ago, leisure is the curse of America. Every generation in our history, in the history of the world has ever crumbled. It's crumbled because of leisure, not because of work. Bible teaches us to go to work early in the morning. Matthew 20, verse 1 says, Jesus went out early in the morning to look for laborers. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Two things there. One, God's looking for laborers. And two, he's looking for them to go to work early in the morning. And then he says in Psalm 104, verse 23, you're supposed to work until the evening. Young people, sit down over there. Sit down. Don't be walking. Sit down. Don't be walking around. Get them a seat there. Once you leave, don't you come back. You don't have to walk out of the service all the time. You might hear maybe something said while you're gone. You might need to hear. Psalm 104, 23, man goeth forth unto his work, to his labor, until the evening. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 says, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Now that means the government is building a society that'll crumble when she sends a check to some lazy rascal that won't work. I resent getting my money that I work for and your money you work for and forcing me to send it to Washington, D.C. to send it some lazy devil who doesn't work to get some gal pregnant so my money can pay for the illegitimate birth. We're not going to build a country to make these people work for what they get. I don't care if it's a woman who's a widow. She shouldn't get a check for nothing from the government. She ought to work for it. Some of you Howells Anderson girls, I'm financially withdrawn. No, you're not. You're lazily withdrawn. A Howells Anderson girl who will work can stay in college. But what you want to do is somebody to pay your way through. I hope you're an old maid. I hope you beauty queens lose your makeup and can't afford to buy any more. Then you'll be an old maid. Man would not work, neither should he eat. What should he do? He ought to rot on a sidewalk. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, what shall thy hand find to do? Do it with thy might. Proverbs 14, 23, in all labor there is profit. You lazy folks are there also the gripers. Happy people don't gripe. Happy people are those who work. They haven't got time to gripe. You look at some Randy Erickson back there. Randy Erickson got time to gripe. Randy Erickson's working all the time. Miss Colston over here, she ain't got time to gripe. She's working all the time. Brother Colston here's got plenty of time to gripe. He's working all the time. You look at these men up here on the platform. Not a lazy guy up here except Moffat. He's a playboy. I'm going to make him into a workman. These guys work.
Well, you sure are lucky.
No, sir, they work. And that's why they're happy. The greatest, I said this at the college the other day, the greatest preacher who ever lived was the Apostle Paul. The greatest missionary that ever breathed a breath or went to a foreign field was the Apostle Paul. The greatest preacher who ever preached a sermon, I won't call his name because I'm too humble, was the Apostle Paul. Now, greatest preacher, greatest Christian, greatest missionary. Boy, he must have been something. I bet he was big, tall, handsome, had a deep voice like this. Boy, I bet he was something. May I tell you about this greatest preacher who ever lived, and this greatest Christian who ever lived, and this greatest missionary that ever lived? May I tell you, and the greatest Bible teacher that ever lived? May I tell you about him? He was little. Big bitty guy. Mike Jorgensen. Went to Jack and Jill store to get his suits. A little bitty guy. And the Bible says that his bodily presence profited little. Nobody looked at him and said, "Boy, I wonder who he is. Boy, he's got a certain kind of an awareness. You realize that his presence, you can feel his presence." Now, Paul, he said his bodily presence profited little. He was little, ugly, had eye trouble, had a squeaky voice. It said, Paul said, "You say my speech is contemptible." Little bitty guy. Preach like this. Ugly. Big eyes. Thick glasses. What made that guy the greatest preacher that ever lived? What made that guy the greatest missionary that ever went to a foreign field? What made that guy the greatest missionary and preacher, teacher, ever lived? See what he said. He said in one verse to the Corinthian people, "I'm the least of all." In the next verse he said, "I labored more than them all." You gals, don't check that guy's muscles. Check and see if he uses them. Don't check his physique. Check and see if he does anything with it. Except look at it in the mirror. He looks at it in the mirror, marry somebody else. Don't date these hooks. These hooks become books. I want to tell you something. He won't look near as handsome. You listen to me. He won't look near as handsome. Unemployed. Won't take a job because he can't find the particular one that he deserves. Laying on a sofa watching a ball game, eating popcorn while you having to make his living. He won't look near as handsome then. And one of these days he's going to lose his hair and get his stomach. We all look alike later on. You find you a guy that works. You find you a guy like Bob Marshall. Ugly as homemade sin. You find you a guy like Bob Marshall. Comes here to Howells Anderson College and gets a job somewhere and works his way up to the company thinks they can't do without him. You find a guy like Mark Rhodes who came to Howells Anderson College. Took over a Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise out in Munster that had closed its doors and made it one of the most lucrative Kentucky Fried Chicken places in America. Why? He worked! Oh, but he is something to look at. Buy a picture of somebody. Get my picture. I'll tell you something. This is the truth. If I ever tell the truth again, I'll warn you. I'm going to be a little bit touchy here. The most sensuous thing, the most attractive thing physically to a woman eventually is a guy who's successful. And the most attractive thing to a man after he's been married 10 years is some good turnip greens on the table. Flavored with ham hock. Make you a resolution to go to work this year. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I said this at the college the other day. I was a young preacher. I knew I'd never be the best preacher in America. Well, I mean, I had no idea then that I would become that. But I knew I'd never be the best preacher in America. That time, I thought J. Harold Smith. I don't think that anymore, but I thought J. Harold Smith was the greatest preacher alive in those days. I thought, still think, that Lee Robertson's the greatest leader in our generation. I thought and still think that John Rice is the greatest Bible teacher and the greatest writer of my lifetime. I thought and still think that the greatest prayer warrior in America was Dr. Ford Porter. I believe that Dr. Robertson leads better than them all. I said that. Dr. Smith preaches better than them all. Dr. Rice writes better than them all. Ford Porter prays better than them all. I sat down and wrote letters to those four men and several others that I thought were men whose stature I could never achieve. And I asked them one thing, please send me, if you don't mind, your daily schedule. And they sent me their daily, most of them sent me their daily schedule. Now, most of those fellows are gone to heaven. The ones that are not are well up in years and not in the pastorate anymore. Dr. Porter's in heaven. Dr. Rice is in heaven. Dr. Smith and Dr. Robertson both are way up in their 80s, not pastoring anymore. Dr. Smith preached, I thought, better than them all. Dr. Robertson led better than them all. Dr. Rice wrote better than them all. Dr. Porter prayed better than them all. I decided I'd outwork them. I got their schedules, and I found out their work schedules. And I drew my schedule up to where I worked more hours than Lee Robertson, more hours than J. Harold Smith. Now, get me carefully. More hours than John Rice, and more hours than Ford Porter. Now, wait a minute. You add the churches, the sizes of them, of Dr. Porter, Dr. Rice, Dr. Smith, and Dr. Robertson. And all of them together won't be the size of this church. Because I outpreached them? Never. I outwrote them and taught them? Never. Outprayed them? Probably not. Outled them? Never. But I decided to outwork them. The best resolution you'll make is get up off your blessed assurance and cancel your subscription or your membership in the TGF Club. And join the TGM Club. Thank God it's Monday. Thank God it's Monday. You will be a success, not because of your talent. I've said this often. Character seeks the talent necessary. Talent runs from character. If you're what you ought to be, you'll do what you ought to do. But if you won't do what you ought to do unless you are what you ought to be. Old story. I learned how to work, and I said, boy, and I had to keep Mama and I fed. When I was in the paratroopers, war was over. We were all waiting to go home. I was pulling KP, that's kitchen police. I wrote Mother, and I said, I'm on the kitchen police. And she wrote back and told me how proud of me she was. She bragged, my son is on the police force. She didn't know it's peeling potatoes and mashing potatoes. One day I had my old fatigue cap. I couldn't find my old fatigue cap. It's the old greasy cap all the soldiers wear. I couldn't find it. Looked and looked and looked. I found it when I was serving the mashed potatoes to the guys that came by. No joke, Scout's Honor. I'm telling the truth. I told you I'd tell the truth. If I told the truth again, I'd tell you. One day, Captain... And by the way, I was walking guard at night, peeling potatoes in the daytime. And by the way, nothing wrong with that. I'm just say this, too. Some of you guys... It's your job to provide for your family. Now, if you can't provide for your family and your wife has to go to work and start doing some of the things you're supposed to do, then you go home and do some of the washing. She goes to work, works all day. You go to work, work all day. You come home and sit down, read the paper, and watch the stupid box while she prepares a meal, washes the dishes, washes the clothes, cleans the house, trains the kids. I mean, if you can't do all of your job, and I'm not criticizing you, if you can't do all the job you're supposed to do, then you do some of the job that she's supposed to do. Back to my story. Captain Fuller came out. I was walking guard, pulling KP. Captain Fuller said, young folks, listen to me over here. Captain Fuller said, fellas, we need someone to work in the personnel office. That was up there typing letters and typing the payroll for 270 men. Boy, I thought I'd sure like to do that because the personnel office folks don't have to walk guard and pull KP. He said, can anybody here type? I can. He said, could you type? Sure, I can type one word every 30 minutes. He didn't ask how well can you type. He said, can you type? I wasn't lying. He said, Hiles, go to the personnel office.
I stayed awake every night for a week learning how to type. Till I could type 40 words a minute. Now, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I didn't know where the keys. I did like that. But I could type 40 words a minute. With only 40 mistakes. I could type real well. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of his country. Captain Thor would walk by and I'd type that sentence over and over again. He'd say, that's the best typist we got here. I get so tired of people saying, I don't think I could do that. Please don't misunderstand me. But I believe I could do anything that there is to be done. You say, you think you're hot stuff. No, I think I'm sweating stuff. I think I'm working stuff. I believe with all my heart I could run the First National Bank of Chicago if I had to, because I'd work and learn how to do it. Or I could run a crane if I had to. I'd learn how to do it. Your resolution this year, go to work. I have not led better than them all. I have not preached better than them all. I have not written better than them all. I have not prayed better than them all. But I have worked harder than them all. Our Heavenly Father, I'm going to quit. I pray you'd help my folks to start. Help us to join the TGM Club. Thank God it's Monday. Teach us to work. Night cometh when no man can work. So I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. May it be so. Amen. Shall we stand?